Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q2 H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2025. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mrs. N. Brahmani, Executive Director, Dr. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. Sridhar Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Upendra Pandey, CEO of Heritage Nutrivet Limited, and Mr. Umakant Parikh, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Without any further delay, I request Dr. Sambasiva Rao to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Anuj. Good morning to everyone joining us today on this call. We are pleased to welcome you all to the earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2025. The financial results and earnings presentation have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you have had a chance to review them by now. Let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter and review first. For the quarter under review, on a consolidated basis, we recorded revenue of 1,020 crores, reflecting a 4.2% year-on-year increase. EBITDA for the quarter was 83 crore rupees, representing a 77% year-on-year growth, with EBITDA margins at 8.16%. Additionally, net profit for the quarter was 48 crores, which surged by 117% year-on-year, resulting in PAT margins of 4.77%. On a half-yearly basis, we recorded revenue of 2,052 crore rupees, reflecting an 8% year-on-year increase. EBITDA for the period was 177 crore rupees, representing a 103% year-on-year growth, with EBITDA margins at 8.63%. Finally, net profit for the period was 107 crore rupees, which surged by 173% year-on-year, resulting in PAT margins of 5.22%. Now, moving on to operational performance, milk sales volume continued its steady growth in Q2, increasing by 5.11% year-on-year to 1.19 million liters per day. However, revenue growth in milk was slightly lower, with average milk selling price at 54.59 rupees per liter, a 0.31% decline compared to the same period last year. Average milk procurement in Q2 FY25 stood at 1.64 million liters per day, marking a growth of 11% year-on-year. Average milk procurement prices for Q2 25 decreased by rupees 2.94 per liter compared to Q2 of the previous financial year. The growth momentum in value-added products remained strong in Q2, with a robust 16% increase, reaching 298 crore rupees in revenues, and VAP contribution to total revenue rose to 30% compared to 27% in Q2 of FY24. In anticipation of the festive season, the company launched several engaging consumer promotions and advertising campaigns, including TV campaign and the scan and win offer across the ghee and sweets range, further accelerating the momentum in value-added products. Lastly, Heritage Nutrivet Limited, the wholly owned subsidiary, experienced robust top-line growth of 18% year-on-year, reaching 86 crore rupees during H1, with a healthy 117% increase in PAT, totaling to rupees 4 crores. With that, we can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kiran Kumar from InvestWise. Please go ahead. Mr. Kiran, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please. Due to no response from the current participant, we will move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Sandy Mehta from Evaluate Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Congratulations on strong bottom line growth. What is your expectation of normal margins going forward? So I think the management, you have previously talked about 7 to 8% EBITDA margins as normal. But in a recent media interview, I believe the CEO talked about 9 to 9.5% EBITDA margins as a sort of a normal level going forward. And especially as you get closer to that 6,000 crore revenue target, which you have publicly stated, would at that level, on a normalized basis, then would you target 9.5% EBITDA margins? Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Mehta. This is Srideep Keshwan, CEO. We have always maintained that we will be, we are aiming to keep our EBITDA in the range of 7 to 8%. And that's our long-term outlook, and this is something that we have maintained. And just to correct, I have not mentioned 9 to 9.5% in the TV interview that you mentioned. You could listen to it again. The question asked was, would the EBITDA margins be sustained in the near term? The answer to that would be that the raw material prices are expected to remain stable, as in not too much volatility. Hence, it will be in this particular range that we are seeing. We did not mention 9 to 9.5%. Even though that will be very good for us to achieve that, but our objective is to keep it in the range of 7 to 8%.
But, you know, as you grow your revenue substantially, there has to be some operating leverage, operating synergies, and also your value-added products continue to increase. So is it reasonable, even if you are not articulating and publicly stating a higher margin target, is it reasonable for investors to expect that over time margins may possibly increase? Thank you.
Mr. Mehta, this is exactly what happened on the TV interview also. If you try to put words in my mouth, then it is difficult. See, the thing is, we do not give guidance. Of course, because you are asking this question in this particular aspect, particular point of view, I will have to agree with you that in every business, our objective is keenly on increasing the margin over a period in time. And that's what we also aim to do. At this point in time, we are not promising that we'll go to a 9 to 9.5% range immediately. But that's what we'll aim to do, right?
Okay. Best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant Harai from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. So the first question is you know, in the last 5 quarters, we have been in that 1,000 crores kind of revenue, you know, say plus minus 20 crores. You know, so you know, why is this stagnation in revenue that we are seeing? Like, is it just because of the prices which have come down, or is it, you know, something on the sourcing side, or is it just that, you know, whatever preparation we did as an organization for last 2-3 years, you know, we have probably grown there, and you know, now we need more infra and, you know, more setup to reach that number. So that's my question number one on revenue stagnation. Question number two is on the employee costs. That you know, for us, employee costs are roughly around, you know, 8%. They used to be around 6%. They are now around 7.5-8% of the revenue. Is there any sort of operating leverage here, or you know, this is the new heritage which will incur this 8% employee cost? And I ask this because, you know, your competitor is at around 4-4.5% kind of employee cost, you know, the one who's in the neighboring state. And my third question is on the NutriVet business. Like, has cattle feed business really picked up? And, you know, despite the low milk prices, are farmers investing in, you know, giving good cattle feed to their, you know, animals? You know, what's any color, what's happening in this cattle feed market, that would be useful. So these are three questions from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There are three parts to a question, and three of us will try to answer it. This is Sridhip Keshwan. I'll go first, and then I'll request CFO to speak specifically about the numbers that you're mentioning as far as the human resource cost is concerned, and then Mr. Upendra Pandey, CEO of HNL, NutriVet Limited, will answer the feeds question. So the first question, I'm just reading out the numbers. Q1 of last year, the number was, I'm reading out last 6 quarter numbers. Q1 of last year was 913 crores. This is standalone numbers, 913 crores, Q2 is 962 crores, Q3 is 922 crores, Q4 is 935 crores, Q1 of this year is 1020 crores, and Q2 of this year is 1007 crores. These are standalone numbers. So I don't see why you say it is stagnant. Last year, around same time, we had breached the 900 crore revenue in a quarter for the first time. This year, we've reached 1,000 crore in a quarter in a revenue for the first time, and we are sustaining that. Secondly, our business has, you know, whenever you look at our revenue, and this we have consistently maintained in the past as well, that you need to look at our revenue in 3 or 4 buckets, right? Let me just break it down for you. One, of course, is the question that you asked of Heritage NutriVet Limited, which is the feeds business. That is one part of our business. Apart from that, on the standalone basis, when you look at the revenue, you will find our numbers reported as milk, value-added products, and bulk fat, right? And bulk fat is something that, you know, we do not take position in commodity. So as and when we accumulate the butter because of excess raw milk and lower sales, we liquidate that as bulk fat, and which is usually a loss-making proposition, right? For or not just for Heritage, but for the industry. Now, apart from that, there is milk and value-added products. I request you as investors to stay sharply focused on the milk and value-added products growth as far as we are concerned. So last year, if you recall, in quarter two, we had reported that, you know, our profitability was much lower because we had booked a large quantum of bulk fat sale, which helped, of course, in the top line growth, but did not help much in terms of bottom line growth. This year, we have very little of bulk fat growth. Whereas what is of interest to you is that the milk revenue growth is upwards of 5%. Primarily driven by volume growth. In fact, actually, volume growth is ahead of revenue growth as far as milk is concerned. And similarly, in value-added products, without consumer ghee, we are at 16% growth. Including consumer ghee, if I consider, value-added products is growing at 19%. And in our investor presentation, we have shown a graph which shows the milk and value-added products growth, which is consistent in terms of high teens in terms of value-added products, and seeing a high single digits as far as milk is concerned. The core of the business remains strong and robust. There is nothing that needs to be of concern. And there is a small concern for us, which is the value-added product growth has come down by about 3 to 4%. Primarily, this is on account of adverse weather we have seen. In fact, in the first half of the year, we have seen roughly around 60% increase in rainfall, in absolute millimeters of rainfall. And you must have read about this in all news articles. And rainfall impacts at least three of our value-added product categories, which is primarily curd, drinkables, and ice creams. All three of that get impacted because of rains. And everybody is aware of the floods and the cyclones and the repeated climatic calamities we have seen in the last quarter. So your company has delivered 19% value-added products of growth despite of all these adverse conditions. And I request you to compare our numbers with any comparable competition on this parameter. And before I hand over to the CFO, I would like to comment on the human capital cost, whereas in our case, we capture all the human capital cost, whether it is direct or indirect cost. Our competitors might be booking it as other operating expense. So the two are not comparable. I'll request CFO to talk about those numbers.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Actually, as compared to the Q2 to Q4, there is actually around 55 crores of employee cost last year, 59 crores. Now it has gone up to 75 crores because the profitability has gone up by more than 100%. Variable component of the employee cost has been provided accordingly. So that is the main reason. And over a period of 12 months, actually there is a new employees also, and the business is expanding, the new geographies, new employees are also joined. So these are the two reasons. And the top line growth, it has come down as compared to the previous year. That is also another contributor, as the percentage has gone up actually by 1.3% as compared to the Q2 to Q2. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir. Upendra here from Heritage NutriVet. To answer your question, we have, realizing the market scenario, we have taken couple of new initiatives few quarters back, and that has started giving us positive result. One is that we have launched high protein and high fat product in multiple geographies, and products are very well accepted by farmers. They have seen a significant improvement in their milk production as well as fat and SNF improvement, and that led to growth of the cattle feed volume. Also, seeing the market trend that price has come down and farmers were struggling, what we did is that further we improvised the quality of our product without changing the price, and that led to increase in the improvement in the fat and SNF of milk, which is giving a better realization to farmers. So farmer continuing our feed and helping us to grow our cattle feed volume.
All right. Thank you so much for these detailed explanations, Sridhir, Upendraji, and the CFO. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The
next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and thanks for taking my question. Good morning, everyone. Firstly, sir, outlook on milk procurement, given we are at the cusp of the flush season. Do you expect the prices to soften further, as usually that happens with a healthy flush? And I'm asking this question because there has been a persistence in food inflation over the last few months, and generally what we see is that it lingers into other categories sooner or later. Do you see that risk currently, or whatever is information we have on the ground, any suggestions on the procurement flush, how it is going to be?
Good morning, Mr. Sameer. This is Swamamurthy. So procurement as on date now, currently it is stable. Then going forward, it may little bit some changes will be there, but there won't be again major changes in the procurement prices, little bit here and there. And now currently it is going stable actually. Now consistently it is.
So, yeah, I'd like to, I'll address a question on inflationary trends. See, there are two parts to a business, right? One is on the procurement side. We have actually seen solid good monsoon and the crops and crop season is looking, crops are looking much better. MSP from the government is also looking good, which means actually the rural economy is actually looking very good positively. We've had some setbacks because of we might have lost a 3 or 4% growth in value-added products because of the negative impact of the weather on the sales side. So that, you know, these are two different aspects, right? You know, you can't take the rural economy robustness and apply to the inflationary trends in the urban India. So I don't think the two go hand in hand. At this point in time, you know, you must have seen that our prices have remained stable for the last 5 quarters. In fact, milk prices as well as the value-added product prices have not gone up in the last 15 months. So if you look at our net revenue per liter on milk or in value-added products, it's roughly the same as what we had in Q1 of last financial year. So we haven't seen any revenue increase or, sorry, a price increase as far as the market products are concerned.
Got it. Thanks for this detailed answer. Secondly, on ice cream, so we have a major player, Hindustan Unilever, who just announced that as part of their overall strategy, they will be exiting the segment. Do you think this is a good opportunity for Heritage? And if so, any plans to capitalize on this opportunity? Your thoughts?
This is Sridip here, Samir. First of all, I'm not sure if Unilever said that they're exiting the ice cream. They said they're restructuring the business, is my understanding, which could be probably in the way the company is structured. You know, ice cream, you know, Unilever is a large player. I believe they are the number two player in India. And I think their business will continue, is my understanding. But see, the opportunity that we are looking at in ice cream is the industry itself, you know, waiting to explode. It's in very nascent stage, if you ask me. The per capita consumption in India is quite low. The category penetration, whether it is at a retail level or household level, is still, you know, very insignificant compared to many of the other indulgent categories like carbonated beverages or juices and all of that. So I feel that, you know, there's a huge headroom to grow, and which is the reason why we are bullish on it. And we very recently announced our capital investment to create a new greenfield facility as well.
Just a follow-up here. So let's say they do divest it. I understand that they might not have finalized that plan, but let's say they do divest it. Will we look at that as a opportunity to accelerate whatever we are doing, or will stay where we are in a normal way? That was actually my question.
You didn't get the CapEx nucleus.
Yeah. Of course, that's what I'm saying, Samir. See, whether they divest or not divest, we are anyway looking at capturing all possible opportunities, which is why we have gone ahead with the capital investment of 200 plus crore rupees in this particular category. So we are going to set up an ice cream plant, which will come up roughly around the same time next year, maybe towards the end of 2025, we'll see that. And we are putting in all efforts to accelerate our growth in ice creams.
Got it, sir. Last bookkeeping question. Can you quantify the bulk fat sales during the quarter, which is apart from the, which is included in the 76 crore that you have reported, but unbranded?
Yeah, just give us a minute.
Yeah, it's about
bulk fat. That's it. Thank you.
Question.
26 crores is the revenue from bulk fat in this quarter.
And the corresponding figure in the base quarter?
72 crores.
Got it, sir. Thanks all from me. Thanks again. I'll come back in the queue for any follow-ups.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my question was on, you know, on the milk sales growth. You know, last few quarters we have been, you know, doing very well on that. But over the medium term, how do you see the milk sales growth, you know, for us, you know, in over the next year or two? And in correlation with that, you know, on our target to achieving 6,000 crore, how do you see milk growth panning out from for us?
Yeah. So thank you. This is Sridip again. You know, there are two components to it. One is the volume growth, and then there is the revenue growth, right? And while quarter to quarter or year on year, it might change because of dynamics of the business or the market. On a continuing basis, you should expect that, you know, about 50 to 60% of the growth to come from volume growth, and 40% of it to come from revenue, which is revenue price increases, right? What is missed at this point in time is only the price increase, because the price increases have not happened for the last 5 quarters, which is why the top line at this point in time is primarily driven only by volume growth, right? And as far as volume growths are concerned, the industry grows at around 2 or 2.5, 3%, whereas we are growing at double that rate as we speak. And we have maintained this growth level for quite some time now, as far as milk is concerned. So our objective will be to keep it at this level, 5 to 6% range for the near future. What we are hoping is probably a couple of quarters down the line, we are able to take price increases as well, so that we are able to push the revenue growth on milk towards a double digit kind of thing, or high single digit. As far as revenue growth on value added products is concerned, it'll be similar. We are currently growing at about 16%. Earlier this used to be about 18-19%. Again, here also what is missing is the 4 or 5% of revenue top up, which is supposed to come through price increases, which has not happened. We hope to maintain the growth momentum as far as the volumes are concerned. And we are hoping that maybe a couple of quarters down the line, we are able to take the price increases so that the revenue growth on value-added products goes to high teens or even 20-21% as it used to be earlier. So as far as we are concerned, the underlying volume growth is what is keeping us all really excited. And that continues. That momentum is sustained.
Sure, sir. And sir, a second question was on the milk procurement front. You know, last few quarters we have seen, you know, surplus availability of milk from farmers. And how do you see the next few quarters, and any indication how the next plus season is looking like? I know it's a bit premature to talk about it, but any indications that you can give, you know, how the next season is expected to pan out?
Procurement side, this Samamurthy, procurement side, whatever we just planned and we are getting it, and even Q3 also, whatever we are planned, actually we are going to get it, and there is no problem in getting the procurement. So as we mentioned, the prices are stable and a little bit changes in the prices, but we are going to get the procurement.
So you
in terms of volumes, in Q2 also we reported 11.4% growth in procurement volume. It's looking pretty good for us.
And on the pricing front, like the prices continue to remain a bit tepid on the procurement side?
Yeah, as of now it is stable, but there won't be much changes in that. Maybe little bit fluctuations here and there. Either upside or downside, but overall it is stable currently.
And any indication that you are getting for next plus season, how is that expected to pan out?
Yeah, already we have planned increase in the procurement, that we are also going to get that whatever we planned it. But in Q3, yes, we are going to get more procurement than Q2.
Okay.
You'll know that we are currently entering flush, right? As in, so the numbers that when he mentioned Q3, he is talking about flush.
Okay. And thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're audible.
Yeah. So, first one is a suggestion. So, actually, if you know, you all can put out the revenue growth clarification even as a part of the press release, it would have been great, because I think we had to wait for the investor presentation to figure out that your revenue growth X of fat product, bulk products was, you know, 10%. So that's a suggestion. My first question is, you know, on the fat part. So, you know, in a bid to, you know, kind of reduce the fat losses or provisions that we have, one of the measures that, you know, we had outlined was that, you know, we'll try and increase our cow milk procurement savings. So can you just talk about the progress there? And related bookkeeping question, any fat losses for the current quarter? So that's my first question.
Oh, shit.
This is Somamurthy again. We are actually procurement, our cow milk contribution is going up. Yeah. So it is about currently it is about Q3, it is about 85%. H1 it is 83% cow milk ratio, and compared to the previous year, the cow milk contribution is going up. And as you know, all of you know that in the cow milk, the fat will be less compared to the buffalo milk. So that is why we are not generating surplus butter. So to the extent of our,
See, Dresha, I don't think that, you know, this is something that, you know, it, because the cow and buffalo both have different flush seasons. So in sometimes you'll see that the buffalo milk has gone up. So, you know, unless there are so many dynamics in the business, like for example, in Q3, buffalo milk goes up, right? In Q2, cow milk goes up. So I don't think that, you know, this is something that we should be very much worried about at this point in time. The company has a very clear action plan on exactly how the butter is sold in consumer packs. And our what is encouraging for us is our consumer fats business, whether it is ghee or butter, is all strongly growing upwards of 50%. So which means actually that that means that, you know, the quantities that we have left with to liquidate in B2B bulk is coming down quarter on quarter, right? So strategically speaking, we will maintain a certain ratio of cow milk and buffalo milk, but I think that we should leave that. It's a very business call.
Understood. And the fat losses for Q2?
Fat losses in
Q2. Q2 fat losses, 7 crore 68 lakh.
7.5 crores, right, roughly?
8, we can take, actually, both including bulk.
Sorry, I did not get that number.
Yeah. It is about 7.5 to 8 crores. Yeah, that's right.
Got it. The second question is on the seed business. So, you know, what is the revenue potential here with our existing capacities, and what kind of margin improvement can we see over, let's say, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years in this business? And because if we see our peer is, you know, doing around 13% EBITDA margins in the feed business with you know, a slightly lower revenue profile. So is this because, you know, the raw material basket in our feed would be different from theirs, or, you know, if there's some color on the feed business's growth potential and the margin potential with current capacity?
So what I can say right now is that we will continue to sustain the growth momentum. We'll not give any indicative number, but we'll continue to sustain the growth momentum in terms of top line. Bottom line, we are continuously improving, and we'll keep targeting this 7 to 8% of EBIT, what we had done in the previous two quarters. We will continue with that. Focus will be on top line growth in next few quarters. And we are taking several new initiatives to ensure that we continue on the top line growth part.
Got it. And what are raw material? Can you just outline what would be our raw material next year for the feed business?
So for feed business, critical raw materials are like DRB, maize, molasses, rice, TDGS, rapeseed, these are the critical raw materials. And we keep some of the raw materials, we do the strategic purchase. We buy at a right time when the prices are extremely low and we stock it in our warehouses. So we gain some advantage because of that, and that helps in improving our profitability.
Got it. And lastly, any pricing actions or grammage actions we took in Q2? Because I think Q1 we held steady despite competition kind of increasing grammage or reducing prices. We did not go ahead with that.
No, we have not taken any pricing corrections, and I don't think that in next quarter also we are going to take any pricing corrections.
No, this is for the dairy business I'm asking, sorry. Not the feed business.
Okay. Prisha, could you please repeat the question? That's Shridip, yeah?
Yeah, so I was just asking that in Q1, in line with competition, if I recall correctly, we have not restored grammage or increased grammage or taken any pricing action. So just wanted to check, in Q2, have we taken any pricing action for the dairy business?
No, Resha. I already addressed this question earlier to someone else who had asked similar. The last 5 quarters, our prices are stable, as in we have not increased prices. Here and there, there might have been, but overall, our revenue per liter is same, flat.
And nor have we increased the grammage. Is that understanding right?
No, there's no change. Overall, there's nothing much to talk.
Got it. All right, thank you so much. All the best and Diwali wishes to the entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Diwali to you.
The next question is from the line of Kiran Kumar from Intervice. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I have one question. How much is our curd growth?
We are growing curd at around 11%.
Is this volume or revenue growth? Is it same for the both?
Volume. And revenue is also same because price per liter is the same.
Yes. Yeah. And one other thing, actually the previous one of the participants was asking, so it's on the employee cost. So I heard the answer of our CFO, means CFO what he had said. It's around 16% if I compare both the Dodla and Heritage. Do we have any plans for optimizing some costs of any cost like outbound costs and all, selling and distribution? To have an edge because we are concentrated in certain areas. So do we have an edge over competitors or is it the same with other competitors?
Okay, so first of all, Kiran, I don't think that this is Shridip here. I don't think the numbers are comparable because I don't think other people report the employee cost in the same way as we do. Right? So I do not want to compare versus anyone. I can give you the commentary as far as we are concerned. We are investing at this point in time on three things as we continue to drive growth in the long term, right? Because that's the single-minded objective. Long-term profitable growth is the single-minded objective that we are working with. The three things are, number one, we are investing in human assets. So we are increasing the quality of people, we are increasing feet on street, which will keep our growth momentum trajectory ahead of the industry and ahead of our competition, right? That's something that we are focused on. Secondly, we are investing in our marketing assets. You will see that our brand investments have gone up. We are currently investing about 0.8-0.9% of our revenue in marketing, advertising and marketing and promotions. Which is also another thing that is driving significant growth as far as value-added products are concerned. And we keep updating you. You must be seeing our brand more and more. And the third is we are investing in capital assets for increasing the capacity of production as far as value-added products are concerned. So most of the capacity increases is going either in value-added products or in terms of increasing our procurement capability. Or in terms of there is some replacement capex that keeps happening. So these are three things that we are continuously investing on. And it's our endeavor to ensure that the revenue growth is ahead of the growth of cost on any of these three line items, so that the overall profitability is looking good. In this particular quarter, because we haven't had any price increases, so our revenue would have been probably 3 or 4% lower than what we would have wanted it to be, because price is remaining flat and the top line only driven by volume growth. That is the reason why your percentage of any of these costs to the revenue would look slightly higher than what we would like. But we are absolutely on track as far as our long-term growth plan is concerned, and there is nothing that there is of any concern.
Yeah. Thanks for the detailed answer. And one last thing, do we exhaust our entire provisioning on which we made last year on FAT? Continuing in our provisions?
I think almost except 1 crore, 1.5 crore, everything has been taken.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Prateek Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you. Sir, on this 7.5-8 crores fat loss, can you break it between bulk and consumer?
You could say it's roughly equal. Of course, the consumer fat loss will be marginal. Bulk fat losses would be there, which will be last part of it.
Correct. So if
you need further information, we can speak to you on one-on-one.
Correct. Our understanding was, as we keep growing our consumer fat business, which is the retail butter ghee, we'll run down on our bulk fat losses, right? So if you look at our quarter one, we did some 6-7 crores of loss on our consumer fats. Again, we did some, like this quarter, 3-4 crores of loss there. So if you can explain, so how do we solve for this fat loss? Our assumption was that we'll do more of consumer fats and that will get solved. But if you're making losses in consumer fat also.
Do you see that this quarter overall profitability is far better than last year same quarter profitability?
No, 100%.
So Prateek, this year's quarter two profitability is roughly 117% higher than last year same quarter without any revenue increase. And primarily this is because of two aspects. One is milk prices having come down by about 6%, which has contributed to it. The second thing is the bulk fat sales having significantly come down, about 52 crores of bulk fat sale is less. That's the top line. That's the highlight that you need to look at. Beyond that, actually, there is, when we look at the at a PBT level, there is a way we apportion and allocate our overhead costs and stuff like that, marketing costs and all of that. I think that there will be unnecessary details to get into. Eventually, if we move from bulk fat to consumer fat, which is ghee and all of that, which ideally is what we desire to have, this particular loss over a period in time will come down. But even in this quarter, even though we had much lower bulk fat sale, we had bulk fat sale in this quarter. So there will be a little bit of say, loss which will continue to incur over a period in time, which will become negligible.
Correct. Fair. Actually, my question was more on consumer fat loss, not bulk fat loss, but we can take it as well. And second, in respect to what our margin guidance, etc., is, we are currently higher than where we are. So any plans to utilize this excess margin? It may not be passing in terms of price, but accelerating our distribution reach, something on the procurement side. Anything that you can highlight, how are we using this extra margin that we have currently from our intended band to kind of drive growth faster?
So see, milk prices are down by about 6.5%, 6.8% or so. Is it 6.8 or 6.4? 6.8%. Milk prices are lower. But you also know that revenue is flat. flat in the sense I'm talking about revenue per kg, which means that we have not increased prices at all. Whereas ideally, if you consider cost inflation, whether it is human capital, somebody asked, there were lots of questions about people costs, like every year there is increment and incentives and variable pay and stuff like that, right? The costs are going up. Operating costs, electricity costs has gone up, fuel costs has gone up. Correspondingly, the revenue price increases have not happened. So a large part of it has, of the procurement price drop has been compensated by the loss of revenue increase in terms of prices remaining stable. So in a way, you can say that, yeah, that's an investment that we've made into building the business over a long period in time. We hope we can recoup that in the next couple of quarters.
Correct.
Not in the next couple of quarters. Maybe after a couple of quarters, we hope we can recoup that. Yeah.
Correct.
We don't see any price increase immediately. Yeah.
Fair enough. Point taken. And the last comment, in the last call, we had spoken about some competitor entering our home market and cutting, slashing prices. We were able to maintain our ground. 90 days has passed since, and we still hold on to that?
Milk volumes are growing at 5.1%. Value-added products are growing at 16%. So I don't need to... Yeah?
Sorry.
So our volumes are growing strong.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayant Mehta from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for your opportunity. Sir, I just had one question. Like, what is our outlook on the dairy industry for the full year and also in the coming quarters?
Can you repeat? Can you repeat, please?
Yes, sir. So I was asking, like, what is our outlook on the dairy industry for the full year and also in the coming coming quarters?
Outlook of industry. I think, see, outlook of the industry is something that is so good. I'll first start with what is the fundamental drivers of the industry, right? In India, the per capita consumption of dairy is still very low at about 350 grams per person. So there is tremendous potential for the per capita consumption to grow. In terms of population, roughly 40-45% of our population are vegetarian population, for who the primary nutrition comes from milk and milk products. It's the primary source of protein as far as one out of two Indians are concerned. And even the balance 50-60% who would eat non-vegetarian food are all flexitarians, who would eat 5 days vegetarian and 2 days non-vegetarian. So dairy has got a huge potential. And the second biggest driver as far as this is as far as dairy in the larger scope of things, right? And out of this 350 grams consumption or the paneer consumption and all that I spoke about, 65% of the consumption even today is in the unorganized sector. The organized sector contribution is at best about 35% or 40%, which is highest in milk, which is about 50% organized. But if you take any category, paneer, for example, 5% is organized, 95% is unorganized. If you look at curd, 20% is organized, 80% is unorganized. Moving from unorganized to organized because of hygiene, because of availability, because of brand consciousness, because of urbanization, multiple reasons are driving this growth. So one, dairy as such is growing. Then within dairy, there is move from unorganized to organized. And the third, there is consolidation with, in the industry, either in terms of retail, for example, more and more growth coming from e-commerce, quick commerce, modern trade and all of that, where branded play is most important. That is where your company is getting stronger, because even within organized play, this play gets limited to a fewer companies who have got a stronger brand and access to these organized channels. So overall, we are actually sitting at the pinnacle of all this growth momentum.
Yes, thanks for the detailed explanation. And sir, just one last question. Have you seen a good amount of demand for the full year and also in the coming quarter?
Yes.
Okay, then that's all.
Demand-wise, there is no problem. Demand-wise, there is no problem. I'm reiterating. We might hit air pocket in the middle sometime due to weather. Because at least three of our value-added product categories are weather-dependent, curd, drinkables primarily, whether it is buttermilk, flavored milk and all, milkshakes and ice creams. If it continuously rains and if there is flood and all of that, we might have a little bit of a slowdown in growth rate. But otherwise, the underlying demand is very strong.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Jain from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question. Recently in Bengal, particularly Kolkata and the Durga Puja, I saw many like branding of heritage being done on a large scale. But I do not see any like retail presence there. So are we thinking of expanding or is there anything?
Okay, thank you, Neha. This is Shridip here. Thank you for that feedback. So I'm happy that you noticed our brand, but not our product. So yeah, this feedback we'll take. We launched in Bengal, in Calcutta, you could say, and southern part of Bengal in August. So it's been 2 months. We have appointed a certain number of distributors and we are expanding distribution. So just like you already saw the brand, I'm sure that you will see our products also everywhere now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I just have one question. This is more to do with the festive sales at this point. I wanted to understand how was the performance of the sweet segment or any related products that are more privy to being purchased during the festive period. Just that question and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Parishad, for that. We are actually having a very good festive sale. The demand is good. So your question was specifically about sweets. Our sweets for the first 6 months has grown. It's almost like, you know, pretty much grown in line with our expectation. We are growing about 40% or so. So that's and even in quarter two also, we have grown at, including the two and all. Yeah, we about 40% is the growth that we are seeing in our sweets in quarter two. So it's quite strong, and we are currently running a very innovative QR code promotion as well for consumers, which is actually giving us further traction.
Understood. Just to follow up on this, I believe the sweet segment would be across channels, retailing as well as e-commerce. Do you have a high level, you know, demarcation of the split among the two?
Okay. So for us, e-commerce and modern trade roughly contributes about 15 to 16% of sale. And same would be in sweets as well.
Understood. Thank you very much. Best wishes for the festive season.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Govind Lal, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Heritage team, and thanks for the opportunity. I got two questions, sir. First one is, in first half, we have done around 8% top line growth. Generally, we are guiding around 15-18%. So second half, how it is looking, sir, we will make up the shortfall of 7-8%. So to catch up with the 15, we have to do 20% in second half. Just your views on that.
Sir, thank you very much for the question. See, I'll just repeat again, we have to look at growth in two parts. One is the volume growth and the other is revenue growth. Volume growth, we are aiming to keep mid-single digits for milk and, mid-teens for value-added products. And this is what we are aiming consistently. And in quarter two also, it was same. 5.1% of milk and about 16% of value-added products. There is also another component, which is a price-led growth, which is the MRPs and, you know, the revenues increase, right? Which is about, usually every year there is a 3-4% price increase that happens because of inflation. This year we have not seen any price increase at all. So that 3-4% is what is being missed as far as the top line is concerned. We hope maybe after, towards the end of this financial year, maybe we'll be able to take those price increases. And that will also add it. Otherwise, the momentum of growth and volumes, we'll make every effort to sustain the current growth.
No. We are net. We generally volume and price. We top line growth. We guide on that. I was asking. So another thing, sir. Dodo also in standalone. We have done quarter on quarter 9% growth. Sir, we have not done anything. It is flat. And year on year, we have done 26% growth. Our competitor. So any view on that, sir?
Sir, okay, maybe sir, you joined a little late. Initially, there was a lot of discussion on the same. What we were trying to say was that we are cycling much higher growth because last year, same quarter, which is quarter two of FY24, there was about 72, 73 crores of revenue which came through bulk fat disposal, which is a B2B sale. Which is not something that it's not our focus, right? And that's not something that the company is building. It's something that we were liquidating excess inventory that was sitting with us. So that is absent now. Now, if you remove that, the core business that you should look at is the milk, value-added products, and the feed sale. Milk is growing at about 5+%. Value-added products is growing at about 16-19%. And feeds is growing at about 18%. So everything is strong. It's just that the bulk fat has degrown at about 80%. That is the reason why overall top line is looking like 4.5%. Otherwise, we are in double-digit growth.
So, got it, sir. So, coming back to again, just second up how it is looking, sir. I am asking top line now. How no, we should look whole year. Top line, just this first half we have done around 8%. So how should we look? Is another 8% second half also is better we can do and overall it can improve net.
We'll work hard, sir.
Okay, follow. Then last question, sir. I am new to this industry and your company investment wise as an investor. So, I want to understand, sir, how seasonality factor plays in quarter to quarter, in four quarters, how we should distribute our revenue of 1 rupee in milk kind of value-added products, which are the good quarters, which are the weak quarters. So shall I presume that the second quarter is the weakest one? Sir, you have to look.
It's a good question and, I don't know if you have time, but I'll just quickly maybe take 1 minute.
Yeah,
see, quarter on quarter, the revenue.
Please, sir. I have got sufficient time.
Every quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, usually our, okay. So I'll just take 1 minute to explain the quarter. Every quarter, the shape of the business changes. Quarter one, the summer months usually is, heavy on many other value-added product categories such as curd and drinkables and ice cream. Quarter two usually is slightly heavy on milk. Quarter three is slightly heavy on festive sale, which is sweets and ghee and all of that. Quarter four is also very similar to quarter one. So roughly, something or the other is always growing as far as this industry is concerned. So overall revenue growth will remain robust, but yeah, the shape of the business categories will keep shifting as we move from quarter to quarter.
Okay, sir. Net-net, again, you can summarize. Just I wanted to have one rupee revenue obviously split to quarter one, two, three, four. So seasonality, how it plays. Overall revenue, I'm asking 1 rupee. So quarter one will be 25%, 27% equal. How it is? Just your view, if possible, on that.
My request is, sir, if you could connect to us on one-on-one, we'll be more than happy to explain you. But overall, like I said, because we are a growth company and milk is growing at 5% and value-added products are growing at 14-15%, over a period in time, the value-added products share will keep growing. Which means, let's say, for example, but still in quarter two, the ratio of milk to value-added products will again tilt towards milk. In quarter one, it will tilt towards value-added product. That ratio will always remain like that. But except that, the size of value-added products will keep growing over a period in time.
Thank you. I hope
I am able to answer. Yeah?
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Roy for closing comments.
Thank you for participating in this earnings phone call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
On behalf of Heritage Food, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.